Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton. A little special edition here on a Thursday afternoon. Jerry and I wanted to talk about a lot of these guys coming in this weekend for official visits, but it wasn't so much that we wanted to talk about the official visits. We wanted to talk more about how we see this class setting up. Yeah, 11 commitments right now for the Longhorns, plus a third Coleman brother as a preferred walk-on, Jerry. That was a nice touch right now at Texas. But also maybe some timing situations. One of the things we talked about this morning on this morning's Coffee and Football, Jerry, was the timing of the wide receiver commitments. Where would that look like? Well, what about the defensive line at the same time? Brandon Brown's coming in this weekend, but you've got Josiah Sharma, Myron Charles, Kevin Wynn, DJ Sanders, a bunch of guys still out there. Zion Williams, we know his timeline, but what dominoes need to fall, when, that sort of thing. We want to get into a little bit more in-depth, I guess, as far as this recruiting class is concerned. Let's start at wide receiver. I think that's a fair place because there are so many. Guys coming in this weekend, Andrew Marsh out of Houston, Daylon McCutcheon out of the Dallas area. Then you also have Kelshon Johnson down in Galveston County out of Hitchcock High School, along with DeCorian Moore. But those aren't the only guys. You also have Tanook Hines, who came in last weekend. And then you have DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, and Kalik Lockett, who are rated higher, at least by the industry, than some other these other guys. What's going on with receiver recruiting as it relates to – I mean, Texas doesn't have any commitments to the position yet, and they could go three or four, Jerry. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think so when we talk about the first guys off the board, I think there's five guys that are cut above. DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett, Kelshon Johnson, and Tanook Hines. I think those five guys are kind of the cut above. I think Kelshon Johnson and Tanook Hines will be the first ones off the board. Tanook Hines told me after the Texas official visit that July, probably early July for him. He's at Notre Dame this weekend, then he's got Baylor. Then it's done for him. He's already been to USC. Kelshon Johnson, that's going to be A&M or Texas. He has USC scheduled for the 21st through 23rd. So at the latest, that's an early July as well, I'm thinking, with Kelshon Johnson, early mid-July. So I think those are the first guys off the board. Jamie French is scheduled for August 30th. DeCorian Moore will likely be late July, early August, around that time that you saw Colin Simmons have his big announcement at Duncanville before the season began. And then you have Kalik Lockett, which is leaning to before the season as well. We don't know when. So it seems like right now, and of course, just subject to change with all this, right? These kids could shut it down anytime, that Tanook Hines and Kelshon Johnson are going to be the first guys off the board, as you'd expect.
Yeah, and French and Lockett don't visit till next weekend anyways.
Yep.
But let's talk a little bit about Andrew Marsh and Daylon McCutcheon, because we really haven't heard much about those. We're focused on them because the focus has been elsewhere. Yet we both know Steve Sarkisian wouldn't be bringing these guys in unless he and Chris Jackson, his wide receiver coach, thought highly of them. What is it about those two that has Texas also interested in them as receivers?
I think Andrew Marsh really popped onto the scene when he was younger. Just a good catch radius, performed well at Texas camp last year. Big catch radius, sure-handed guy, quality route runner. With Daylon McCutcheon, he has some DeCorian Moore to him, super smooth, maybe not the fastest guy, but super smooth. Everything he does as a wide receiver is really smooth movement, sure hands, a quarterback's best friend, so to speak. And look, a guy that's official visits to USC, Florida State, Ohio State, and Texas, that just tells you the depth of the wide receivers Texas is recruiting. Where Daylon McCutcheon, you say, is there a spot for him? In normal years, there might be a spot for him. This might just be the one there's not.
Yeah, or we could get the surprise. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Steve Sarkisian goes in and has conversations with these guys. Those guys have conversations with Steve.
That can change.
Yeah, we've seen it happen. So never say never. I will add this. The next position I want to go to is defensive line. Because you and I have talked about this. I mean, fans, I think, while they're excited about the wide receiver recruiting, I think they're actually concerned about defensive line recruiting, perhaps because that's been a little bit of a bugaboo in the past 3 or 4 years, where they haven't really dominoed on those elite defensive linemen at the rate that they would have hoped, right? Well, Brandon Brown comes in this weekend. He's the one commitment Texas has right now at defensive tackle. Obviously, Lance Jackson, he's a defensive end. I'm not going to talk about edges. Let's just stick to the interior here, Jerry. But him and Kevin Wynn. Last week, Myron Charles and Josiah Sharma were in. If for whatever reason, and then you have Zion Williams next weekend.
Yeah.
Along with DJ Sanders. If for whatever reason, Brandon Brown peels on Texas after this weekend, that makes it look even more, worrisome, I guess, if you're Texas. So what are your thoughts there, Jerry, overall at defensive tackle and what people should be, quote unquote, thinking? Like, what's your attitude right now towards it all?
My attitude is pretty simple. There's five guys, Brandon Brown, Josiah Sharma, Myron Charles, Kevin Wynn, Zion Williams, who I place above the line of other guys. They have to get two of those guys. I mean, they have to find a way to get two of those guys, and that's easier said than done because they're all national recruiting battles. But I think it's huge this weekend with Brandon Brown, as you said. I mean, look, that one, him and Zion Williams are interesting to me, Bobby, because if they don't go to Texas, they're going to LSU. And who's the D-line coach at LSU? Bo Davis. So I think one of the things we have to understand is that's kind of Sark and Bo Davis competing a little bit for these guys. And I think that matters a little bit here as well, right? I mean, Bo Davis left Texas, went to LSU, right? I mean, there's always competition amongst these guys in recruiting. If people don't think that, I don't know what to tell them. So that's the issue, is if Brandon Brown peels, he's going to LSU. If you don't get Zion Williams, he's going to LSU. I mean, that's the issue right now. Myron Charles. So, and outside of that, you're talking about California kid out of Folsom. Myron Charles out of Port Charlotte. I mean, these are Kevin Wynn out of 40 miles from Athens. These are uncharted waters for Texas and D-line recruiting. These are national battles, tough battles. If Texas can come away with two of these five, no matter who two of the five are, they've had a really good class considering who they're going against. Now, they want to assign four high school D-linemen. So then, do you have a developmental guy like a DJ Sanders that you could win out for? Do you hold for senior year with the coaching carousel, keep evaluating guys, keep recruiting some guys through the whistle, quite possibly? Because right now, if you say you got six official visitors, the odds of you winning four aren't very high. That's just the reality of it.
Let me ask you this. I think – I shouldn't even say let me ask you. My take on it is you've got to keep Brandon Brown, okay, because I think he's the mad disruptor in this. And yep. Then you want Josiah Sharma and or Zion Williams and Kevin Wynn and Myron Charles. I don't think you're going to get – it's rare that we think Texas might get three of these four.
Right.
Higher-end guys. Now, I feel like we also may see somebody come up later in the year where Texas goes back in on or – to your point, and we always talk about this, I mean, Texas wasn't getting Cam Williams this time 3 years ago. He was already locked away going to Oregon, et cetera, or whatever, and Texas was playing. Those guys can come about, and we may see that happen based on some late musical chairs with coaches in the season. But my standpoint is Texas needs to get at least two of them.
Yep.
Okay, of the high-end guys,
yes,
to pair with Alex January from last year and Sadir Mitchell. And all of a sudden, you're looking at four high-end guys in a two-year period that kind of can encircle the trust of what you've got going forward. And then you can supplement that with the portal eventually if you need
it. Exactly, yeah.
But you need – look, they need four high-end guys through three years, in my opinion.
I agree.
And it'd be great to have six if you're Georgia, right? But Texas isn't in the state of Georgia.
Right.
So they have to go out and find these guys.
Well, Bobby, and that's another point. You brought up something that is so true. The state that one of the issues, and this is not excuses, one of the issues for Texas and for Texas A&M at this position is the state doesn't produce these guys in abundance. That's one of the issues. So you're forced to go out of state to win a lot of these battles. And then you're going into SEC territory, or they're all going to be national battles because of who you're recruiting. I mean, just go look at A&M's class when they were loading up on defensive linemen, where those guys came from. There was Shamar Turner from Texas, right? But then how many of those guys were out of state? Walter Nolan, Isaiah Rakes. Go down and just go down that list. So the problem is the state of Texas, unlike a state like Georgia, they don't produce 5-6 of these guys every year that are Texas good. So that puts a lot of pressure on Kenny Baker, Steve Sarkisian, and the staff to go win big national battles out of state.
Got it. All right, next one I want to talk to you about, just some nuances, it's edge.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that it doesn't seem like it's a pressing concern to Texas at this point. But to me, it's one of those positions where Texas is now in a great spot at edge. From a young position, not only you have Colin Simmons, you also have Zena Umeozulu. I think they've got some young guys, Colton Bosick also. I want them to keep that up because I do believe that value is going to be increased the more they play in the SEC because they've got to get to the quarterback, period. Yeah. You just can't do that in the SEC. You've already got Lance Jackson at Texarkana, who I think is a tremendous prospect. But you've got others as well that they're really in on right now. The one that I've long thought they had the best chance at to pair with Lance Jackson would be Smith Irogbo, who's coming in this weekend for his official visit. But look, people put in a crystal ball for him for Texas Tech. So am I wrong? And is it now Davion Hilson that we should be looking for, or Marco Jones, who's coming in this weekend out of California? What are your thoughts on that? And is there a second guy really that we need to be looking for?
Yeah. So I would say this. I think, not that it was premature to put a pick for Texas Tech for Smith Irogbo, but that was kind of a somewhat of a calculated risk because he visits Texas this weekend and he's scheduled to be at Oklahoma next weekend. And look, Jeff Banks, PK, they went through that school and met with Smith Irogbo. Academics are everything to the father in this recruitment. He doesn't really care about football. So that gives Texas a shot this weekend for Smith Irogbo. Smith himself cares very much about football, but on the family side, it's all academics. So that very much gives Texas an opportunity there in this recruitment. But yeah, Bobby, to your point, I mean, what you're saying earlier about edge is so true. But here's the reality. Ethan Burke with a big year could go pro. Trey Moore with a big year would be expected to go pro. Baron Sorrell's a senior. So there is a need in this class for two or three edge prospects. And, you know, outside of Smith Irogbo, Marco Jones is coming in this weekend. Total wild card recruitment. I think there's a reason Texas brought Javion Hilson in early last weekend to see if they would end up having a shot at him. And they believe they have a shot at him. It's just that can you beat out FSU where he's committed?
All right. Let's look at another spot here and see what you think and just take it in. The other one that's interesting to me right now is offensive line. And Texas sits at three commitments on the offensive line, the Coleman brothers, as well as Jackson Christian. Then they have two or three guys coming in this weekend, Nick Brooks coming in, Lamont Rogers coming in. They've got some guys. What's going on there, and where do we think they're going to end up? Are they going to take 5-6? How many more tackles? That sort of thing is kind of – it's kind of playing in my mind a little bit. Do they want two out of three of these tackles, Fasusi, Rogers, and Brooks, and then they call it a day? Or is John Mills still on that category of, hey, we want this guy out of San Francisco? So what's the thought process there, given the numbers constraint Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian are working with?
Yeah, I think the question you hit the nail on the head, is it five or is it six? I think it's ultimately going to be Steve Sarkisian's call on where to stop, because, you know, Flood would take eight if he could. I mean, that's an offensive line coach, right? Chris Jackson would take five wideouts and figure it out, right? But that's not going to happen. I think John Mills is absolutely a take for Texas. So if he wants a spot, he's got one. So let's just say that's four if Texas beats out Washington. Then it comes down to Fasusi's visiting next weekend. Brooks and Lamont Rogers are this weekend. And I think Texas has a legit shot at Nick Brooks. I'm not saying they're going to beat out Georgia. I think they have a legit shot. I didn't say that about Daniel Calhoun 2 years ago. I always thought Texas was playing from behind, but Texas had a level of confidence on their end, but I thought they were playing from behind. In my discussions with Nick Brooks, I think Texas has a legit shot here right now. And then you have Lamont Rogers. So that's the question, Bobby, is Do you shut it down at five or do you take the sixth? Because I think Texas is going to get the five. And if they get the five before Fasusi decides, they obviously would take six.
All right. Defensive back recruiting would be next for me. Corner and safety. Obviously, Caleb Chester, first defensive back in this recruiting class. Then they have other guys that they like. Clearly, Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield, Timberview. He just got offered a couple weeks ago. Texas high on him. He ran a 10.700 meter at 6 foot plus. Then you have Cade Phillips, who's been a priority from the get-go from them out of Hightower down in Fort Bend. We heard Caleb Chester talk about him on the live stream last night as well. The young man out of Fort Bend Marshall, Aiden Anding out of Ruston, Louisiana. All these guys, Jerry, there's got to be 4 to 5 spots available in the secondary. Think they take 2 to 3 corner / nickels and 2 true safeties? Is that your thought process? Because that's been mine going into this.
No, I think you're spot on, Bobby. I think that's what the numbers are. The question is, are they going to fill them all now? Or are they going to hang out and still try to recruit a Devin Sanchez or somebody else that commits elsewhere? Because that's what happened in the last class. The last class, you left the summer. Kobe Black was uncommitted. Wardell Mack was committed to Florida. Xavier Filsimi wasn't even on the radar. He didn't have an offer from Texas. So they got 3 guys in the fall in the secondary. So here's the question for me to your point is, I think Cade Phillips, he's at LSU this weekend, Texas next weekend. It's going to be one of those two. I think Nathan Tillman, who's committed to SMU, if he steps foot on campus at Texas, that's going to be a serious threat to SMU. Aiden Anding, I think, is a Texas or Miami battle, and Texas would absolutely take Aiden Anding. So if you got Aiden Anding to go with Chester and you want out for Cade Phillips, you're suddenly at 3 spots out of those 5. I could see a 4th going early and then saving a spot for senior year or a flip of a guy or, continue to go recruit a guy like Devin Sanchez. And I know I haven't even mentioned Dorian Brew, but right now that's trending away from Texas. He has to step foot on campus this month for me to believe Texas has a real shot right now. Texas tell us confidence they're going to get him in for a visit, Bobby, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's the one thing is, I know we are looking on the outside, looking in, right? We're not inside these recruitments between Texas and the player. We are reporting on them as they happen. So we do get information every so often from Dorian Brew publicly does not have a visit set to Texas, but I know Texas continues to recruit him heavily and wants him. And so where that's going to end up, we don't know. It's interesting because this is every year there's 1 or 2 recruitments that just feel a little different. I think Dorian Brew is one of those recruitments right now. It just feels a little different than maybe the typical one. The last position that I actually want to mention is tight end. And I mentioned tight end separately because of this. You and I have both talked about this. Is there a possibility that Texas is actually recruiting some other guys as much or more than Emory Winston, who's already committed? Yes. Could he be a guy that peels off at the end and maybe they're looking at Nick Townsend and Keyote Armstrong or Caleb Edwards or at Michael Terry at that H-back spot triple threat, whatever you want to call that piece of business that they want to do there. Is that possible to you or no?
No, I think it's possible. Look, Texas was okay with Mari Winston making an official visit to Auburn. Texas shut down visits with KJ Lacy, essentially. So anytime you're okay with somebody making an official visit, there's questions there. And I do think Nick Townsend, I think Amari Winston's a good prospect. He's been on the show. We like Amari Winston as a prospect. I do think Nick Townsend's different. Just different level athlete, not than Amari Winston, than everybody at tight end in the country in this class. And if there was another guy that could project the tight end long-term that's like that, it's Michael Terry. So the issue there is there's 2 elite athletes that are possibilities at tight end for Texas in this class. Then you have Keyote Armstrong and Caleb Edwards. They're the bigger frame guys that are also would be a really good complementary second tight end, and not that they're a complementary player, but complementary skill sets. Those are 2 of the bigger better big tight ends in the country. I mean, Caleb Edwards, I saw him Saturday. He hasn't even begun to really fill out yet. He's going to be 6'6", 260, and a good athlete. Coyote Armstrong, I mean, I call him poor man's Darnell Washington. Poor man's because he's 6'5 and a half, not 6'7", like a Darnell Washington was, and he's still got to continue to make strides in the run game as a run blocker and want to be what Darnell Washington was. But, yeah, Bobby, I think those are four high-end talents at the tight end position. And let's call Michael Terry an athlete that could be Amari Nyblak to me. But those are four extremely high-end prospects, and I think Texas brought in Caleb Edwards early for a reason. See where they're at with him, knowing he has Auburn, Alabama, then Oregon. Will he move off the West Coast eventually is the question. But, yeah, to your point, Bobby, I think tight end, actually, there may be as much depth of talent for two spots as any position Texas is recruiting.
Interesting. That's a good way to put it. We did not hit on linebacker. We will do that at another time in this episode. But tell you what, Texas bringing in Riley Pettijohn and Jonathan Cunningham out of North Crowley. We think those two are probably the final two prospects, although they do want the Madden Faramo out of California coming in the following week. So we'll see where that goes and who they might pair with Elijah Bo Barnes out of Dallas Skyline, who's clearly one of the best players in the country at his position. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of On Texas Football, special edition on recruiting. I want to get Jerry's thoughts kind of corralled and then put into one place prior to this coming weekend as well, because it is such a big recruiting weekend. Right now there are 14 public visits scheduled for this weekend. We actually think there's going to be 15 at least based on some inside knowledge there that the player has not divulged yet to the public. So, all right, for Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton, and that's been this episode of On Texas Football. Welcome.